Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
It is narrated by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah from Wahab that he said that the Prophet of Allah Musa alayhi salam passed by a man who was making supplication and fervently praying to Allah, saying, "Oh my Lord." So Musa alayhi salam saw this man desperately making dua. So he said, "Oh my Lord, have mercy upon him, for I have you know, my heart is broken over him. I pity him so much." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired to Musa alayhi salam, if this man was to supplicate and pray to me until all of his strength was to be exhausted, I would not answer him until he recognizes my right over him. So of the most beneficial things for a servant is to treat his heart by looking at the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his servant. Because when you realize how great the rights of Allah are of you, then this will create in you a lowliness to yourself, and you'll see how little it is that you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be spiteful towards your heart, and you will free your soul from self-amazement and from doing things to show off. And so the doors of servitude and lowliness and heartbrokenness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up for you. And a person will give up hope in his own self, and he will realize that savior will not happen except by the mercy and pardon of Allah and his forgiveness. Because it is the right of Allah that he should be obeyed and not disobeyed, and that he should be remembered and never forgotten, and that he should be thanked and never denied. And so the one who realizes this right that his Lord has over him, then he will have sure knowledge of certainty, that he has not fulfilled the right of Allah as they should be, and that he does not have the ability, or he is in need of Allah's pardon and forgiveness. And that if he was left to depend on his own actions, then he would be destroyed. And so many of the people, many of the scholars who study this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the status of their soul, this is what caused them to lose hope in their own selves and to attach their hopes in the pardon of Allah and in His mercy. But if you look at the condition of most people, you would find that they are opposite to this reality. They look at their right that they feel Allah owes them, and they don't look at the rights that they owe to Allah. And this is what creates them to be cut off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what causes their hearts to be partitioned and curtained away from Allah, and knowing Allah and loving Allah and having longing to meet Allah and finding bliss in the remembrance of Allah. And this is the epitome of the ignorance of the human being in his Lord and in his own self. Judging yourself is to look for a servant to look at the right of Allah upon him firstly. And then he can looks at himself. Did he fulfill what is worthy or not? Secondly, is to spend time thinking about that. Because when you think about the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whether a person has fulfilled the rights of Allah, This will direct the heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will allow for the soul to fling itself before Allah in lowliness and subservience, to be brokenhearted and realizing that it is only Allah who can mend that broken heart, and to realize that he is impoverished and in need of Allah, and it is only Allah who can enrich him. He is lowly, and this lowly state can only be lifted, and he can only be honored by Allah. Even if he does whatever he does of good deed, but if he misses out on this, then he would have missed out great righteousness, greater than whatever deeds he may have done. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he narrates from Abi Umran Al-Jawni, that Abu Al-Jalad said that Allah Ta'ala had inspired to Musa alayhi salam, "If you remember me, I will remember you. If you remember me, then remember me when your limbs are shaken, and be at my remembrance humbled and in a state of tranquility. And if you remember me, make your tongue behind your heart. And if you stand before me, then stand as a slave, a lowly slave stands, and reduce yourself, because yourself or your soul is worthy of being lowered. And invoke me when you invoke me with a heart that is shaking and a tongue that is truthful." From the benefits of a person looking at the rights of Allah upon him, is that he will not leave him. It will not leave him looking at any deed to do, whatever deed that may be. The one who recognizes the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not allow himself to look at his deeds at all, whatever deed he may have done. And the one who looks towards his deeds, he will not be elevated to Allah. As Imam Ahmad said about some of the people of knowledge, that he said to a man, that a man said to him, "Indeed, I stand in my prayer and I cry. I cry so much that plants almost will grow from my tears that fall to the ground." And so he said to him, "Then if you laugh, while you are admitting to Allah your mistake, is better for you than to cry while, you know, revering your action." For a person to look towards his action, it will not be elevated. So he said to him, "Then give me advice." Then he said, "I advise you to have asceticism to the worldly life, and to not fight for the worldly life and fight with the people of the world and challenge and compete with the people of the world, and be like a bee." Like the bee, when it eats only good, and what it drops only good. If it was to stand on a twig, it doesn't harm it. It doesn't break it. And I advise you to be true to Allah Azza wa Jal. Just like a dog is true to its family and it's loyal to its family. So if a dog is true to its family, then they will never allow the dog to go hungry, nor would they ever cast the dog away. Sorry. Be true, yani just like be true to Allah, just like a dog is true to its family. That even though a family may neglect the dog and may cause it to go hungry and cast it away, it will always go and protect them and be true to them. And it is from this that Ash-Shatibi said in his poem, be as a dog who is kicked out by its family. And he never ceases to be true to them and to be humble to them. So no matter what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may challenge a person with and may test a person with, always be true to Allah. Because you recognize the right of Allah over you. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he said that Jariri said, it had reached me that a man from Bani Israel had a need to Allah. And so he devoted himself to worship. And he was very strenuous in his devotion. And then he asked Allah for his need. But he didn't find that he was successful. Then he slept that night and he was very disappointed in himself. He said, oh myself, what is wrong with you that your needs are not fulfilled? And so he slept sad and grieved. Aggrieved at himself, and he kept blaming himself, and he said, by Allah, I was not defeated because of Allah. I didn't fail because of my Lord. But rather I failed because of the soul that I have presented before Allah. And so he spent that night disappointed with his soul. And he kept blaming his soul. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled his need. In the next chapter, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah speaks about the cures for the heart and how to cure the sickness of the heart from the shaitan. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that this is of the most important chapters of the book and of the most beneficial. And many of those who speak about spirituality, they did not give due attention to this topic. They would address issues to do with the soul and the faults of the soul and the desire and the dangers of the soul. And they went into a lot of detail in that, but they had deficiency in addressing the issue of the role of the shaitan in the spiritual destruction of a person. The one who analyzes the Quran and the Sunnah realizes the Quran and the Sunnah did address the shaitan and his plans and his warring against the human being. And Allah mentions the dangers of the shaitan to a person in his spiritual journey to Allah more than the dangers of the soul. For the soul, the lowly soul or the blameworthy soul was mentioned, for example, in Surah Yusuf, verse 53, where Allah says, Inna an-nafsa la'ammaratun bis-su', indeed the soul is commanding to evil. Allah mentioned the blaming soul. وَلَا أُقَسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. Nor will I make a vow by the blaming soul. And Allah mentioned the blameworthy soul where he said in Surah An-Nazi'at, verse number 40, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he who prevents his soul from what it desires. But as for the shaitan, the shaitan is mentioned in many places in the Quran. And the entire surah is dedicated to seeking protection from the shaitan, which is Surah An-Nas. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. I seek refuge in Allah from the Lord of the people, the Lord of mankind. قُلْ أَعُوذُ رَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. The king of mankind. إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. The God of mankind. مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. From the one who whispers and hides away. مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. The one that whispers in the hearts of men. من الجنة والناس, of the jinn and the humans, from among the devils. So Allah mentioned an entire surah about the evil and the danger of the shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had warned his servants from the shaitan in many places, more than what Allah warned his servants from their souls. And so this is as well what attention we should put to this issue. And so we should duly address the dangers of the shaitan, just as we address the dangers of the soul, but the dangers of the shaitan are greater. For the evil soul and the corruption of the soul comes from the whispers that come from the shaitan. And the whispers ride on this, and it is the يعني, the secret of the evils of the soul, and it is the place where the soul will obey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded us to seek Allah's protection when we read the Quran and in other places, because we need the protection of Allah from the shaitan in this place more than anything else. Allah did not command us to seek refuge from our souls in one place, but rather to seek protection from the evil of the soul. As Allah mentions in Khutbat al-Hajjah, so never does Allah mention to seek protection from the evil of the soul by itself. For example, in Khutbat al-Hajjah, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا. We seek protection in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil of our actions. The Prophet ﷺ used to seek Allah's protection from these two issues, just as in the hadith, where Abu Bakr asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rasulullah, teach me something that I will say in the morning and in the evening. He said, say, O Allah, knower of the hidden and the apparent, creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord of everything and its master and its owner. I testify that there is no God to be worshipped except you. I seek protection from the evil of myself and from the evil of the shaitan and his associates, and that I should attract on myself any evil, or that I should lead that to any Muslim. He said, say that in the morning when you rise, and say that in the evening, and say that before you take your bed. And so this great hadith, this honorable hadith, teaches us to seek protection from evil and the causes and the effects. Because evil comes from the soul and comes from shaitan. And it affects will either, the consequences of the evil will either go back to the one who did the action himself or upon another Muslim. And so this hadith shows the two sources of evil and the two consequences, the two possible consequences of evil action. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah then addresses the issue of isti'adha. of seeking Allah's protection before reading the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you read the Quran, then seek Allah's protection from the accursed shaitan, the accursed Satan. Indeed, he has no power over those who believe, and upon their Lord do they rely. But rather, his power is upon those who ally themselves to him and those who associate with him. So what does it mean to seek Allah's protection? Is to seek to seek that Allah prevents harm, and to seek power in Allah, and to seek asylum in Allah. And the origin of the word isti'adha is from awd, iyad and mu'ad, and it is mostly used as musta'ad, to seek protection in. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you have indeed sought refuge from someone who is worthy of being sought refuge from. لَقَدْ عِثْتِ بِمَعَاد. And the word comes from seeking protection, or seeking asylum. Or seeking laja'a means to seek safety. And this is to be close to something. As the Arabs, they say, that the most delicious of meat is the uwadha, is the uwadh meat, which is the meat that is closest to the bone and sticking to the bone. And that also say a camel is a'id, the one that sticks to its baby, or that its baby sticks to its mother. And it is the word awd is or a'id in this is singular, and the plural is uwadh, just as humr or humr is the plural of other words, and that plural form is found in other Arabic words as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was mentioned the hadith of Hudaybiyah, that they had with them udh al-matafil. Al-matafil is the plural of mitfal or mutfil, and it is the female camel that has its baby camels with it, and they are close to it. And sometimes it's used to apply to humans, especially when women have their children with them and they're closely attached to them, as the author of Jama' al-Usul has said. So what is meant by that, in Hudaybiyah they came out with all of their camels, even their female camels that had their babies with them, that normally that people don't go out with them. So the Prophet, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded us to seek Allah's protection from the shaitan when reading the Quran. Alhamdulillah. And there's many benefits and reasons we can see from that. The first being that the Quran is a cure for that which is in the hearts, and it removes what a person may suffer from the effects of the shaitan, of the whispers and the desires and the evil intentions. And so it is a cure for the effects of the shaitan in the heart. And so if before reading the Quran, you should remove the sickness so that the heart is empty, so that when you read the Quran, it is the cure. And so it will fill the place, and therefore it will take effect, and it will be very effective. As the Arab poet, he said that her love came to me before I knew love. And so the love coincided with an empty heart, and so it took root. So in the same concept, if we want the Quran to take root, then we must remove the influence of shaitan on our hearts. And so that's why we seek Allah's protection from the shaitan before reading the Quran. And so this curing remedy of the Quran will come to the heart that has been emptied and will not be congested with that which opposes the Quran. And so the Quran will find remedy in it and will find life in it. As well, the Quran is a source of guidance and knowledge and goodness for the heart. Just as water is the element of growth for plants, and the shaitan is fire that burns these vegetations. First by first, the first burns it one by one as the fire approaches. So when the plant feels the burning of the fire, when the plant feels the goodness in the heart, the shaitan wishes to extinguish that goodness by burning it. So this is why we're commanded to seek Allah's protection from him, so that it does not corrupt what we have benefited from the Quran. And the difference between this and the first is that to seek Allah's protection in the first place so that you can get the benefit of the Quran, and in the second place so that you can retain the benefit of the Quran. Just as some of the scholars, they said that you seek Allah's protection from the shaitan before the recitation and after the recitation. And this shows this understanding of this meaning. And this is by Allah a very good understanding. But the sunnah that has been narrated and the practice of the sahaba that has been narrated is to seek Allah's protection before beginning the recitation. And this is the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars in the early generations and the later generations. And when you seek Allah's protection from the shaitan in the beginning of the recitation, then it actually has both effects of allowing the heart to benefit from the Quran, and as well to maintain the benefit of the Quran so that it's not corrupted by the shaitan. The benefit of seeking Allah's protection before reading the Quran is because the angels draw near to the one who reads the Quran and they listen to his recitation, as in the hadith of Usayd ibn Hudayr when he was reading the Quran and he saw like a cloud that had lanterns in it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that they were the angels approaching him because of his recitation. And the shaitan is the opposite to the angels and the enemy of the angels. So it is commanded for the reciter of the Quran to ask Allah to distance his enemy so that the angels will be present. Because this is a gathering that the angels are present. Is not attended by both the angels and the devils. And so to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to distance the devils away from you before reciting the Quran. Two more points, inshallah, before we end for today, of the benefits of seeking Allah's protection before reading the Quran, because the shaitan wishes to attack the one who's reading the Quran with his horsemen and his footmen, and to preoccupy him from the purposes of the Quran, and that is to contemplate and to understand and to try to understand what Allah wants from him. And so the shaitan tries very hard to separate the reader from the point of the Quran so that he doesn't fully benefit from the Quran. And so this is why it has been legislated for him to seek Allah's protection before reading the Quran. The final point is that the one who is reading the Quran is conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his own words. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to listen to the one who reads the Quran with a beautiful voice, just like the one who is using a flute loves to listen to the beautiful sound of his flute. And so the shaitan the recitation and the reading of the shaitan is in poetry and singing. And so this is why the one who reads the Quran is commanded to distance and to kick away the shaitan by seeking Allah's protection when he wishes to speak with Allah, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can listen to his recitation. We'll stop there, inshallah. Wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.